I'm here with Steve Harvey, businessman, entertainer, and philanthropist. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. I want to start on the topic of mentorship. How important was mentorship in your own life in getting you from a homeless comedian to all of the success that you have now?
A boy without a male role model or a mentor is like an explorer without a map. It's just so hard to reach manhood. And then on top of that, it becomes extremely difficult to turn yourself into something without mentorship. And this really became really pronounced for me at my father's funeral. My father passed when I was 43, and it was one of the most crushing moments of my life. And I was sitting at my father's funeral looking at him, and I realized at that particular day that if it wasn't for this guy, that there's no way I'm sitting here today. I had already reached a measure of success by then. I was already had overcome a lot of major obstacles, didn't know I had a whole lot more to go, but I'd already overcome so many obstacles. And it was because of the mental attitude that he had instilled in me as a man, and his mentorship and what he taught me about work ethic and the principles of manhood. And the number one thing was do what you say you're going to do. After his passing, that's when I created the foundation, because I got back on the jet and I was going, wow, what happens to young boys who don't have what I had? And I thought about all the single mothers that were raising boys. And I said, wow, I got to do something about this. And that's when I started the program. It started me going to detention centers and youth prisons around the country. Even back when I was on Showtime at the Apollo before my dad passed, I would go and speak. I can't tell you how many young, I had a young man named Prince came up to me one time. He said, Mr. Harvey, you don't remember me, do you? I said, no, I don't. He said, my name is Prince. He said, you came to the Augusta Youth Detention Center and you spoke. He said, you changed my life. He's an engineer today. And he was in a juvenile detention center for 3 years. And so I know it's impactful and it's important, and mentorship is everything.
You know, I was told once that that in the workplace, that Black employees especially don't just need mentors, but what they really need are sponsors. What does that mean for you? And how critical is that sponsorship to Black success?
Well, I mean, it's absolutely critical because, look, it's daunting in the workplace. Corporate America is daunting for anybody of any color. But I think it's fair to say that when you add the element of your skin color to it, you've got some more hurdles because you don't know who's in the supervisory capacity. And so not only do you need mentorship, you've got to have somebody who puts their hands on your shoulders and guides you through the maze. You've got to have somebody going, okay, when this happens, turn left. When this happens, and it's usually somebody that's been there, done that. And it's critical because there's some extra hurdles you're going to have to deal with. I mean, look, I know the average American doesn't like to admit to that, but that's the way it is. It's just extra. You know, I've had to be more than my counterparts to get to where I am today. And I knew it. I had an executive one time at the WB said, Steve, if you say I told you this, I'll swear up and down I didn't. And because I was asking for a raise on my sitcom because Buffy and the Vampire, this little teenage girl, was making more money than me. But my ratings was higher than hers. And I went to him and asked for the raise. And he simply told me, he said, listen, because you have a Black sitcom, you fit into the multicultural budgets of most companies and they just don't pay as much. Say, so you can have the same rating, but I can't pay you because your show doesn't bring in the same amount of dollars. And that was a rude awakening to me. And I'm going, wait a minute, I'm doing the same thing and better. And he says, well, I think you know by now you got to do more. And I really appreciated this guy for just being really that honest with me. And so a lot of that still goes on. So sponsorship is critical. You know, you got to have people guys that have heard these conversations in the boardroom with people who were honest with them, that's saying, look, I know this is wrong, but this is what's happening. And this is how you circumvent it. This is how you get around it. And you got to have that in your life.
You know, looking over this past year, so much has happened throughout the pandemic. And it's been particularly hard for Black businesses and Black communities. What is really still needed to help Black communities, communities like the one you grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, go from a place of just surviving to actually thriving?
Well, look, I know the cavalry's not coming over the hill. I've been looking for them for 64 years. It's great in the movies, but they're not coming over the hill. But what has to happen is there has to be special tension or play on the government level to have funds available for these people that don't always have access to funds. Look, if it's tougher, if you got to do more to be on TV, that stands to reason that you got to do more to be in business. And it's harder to get loans because, you know, you live in a certain area with a certain area code. You automatically, when that's on your loan application, they're very aware of the district that you live in. And they're aware of the taxes that's being paid in that number. They're very aware of the average income in that neighborhood. So you're trying to open up a business in an underserved community, and banks don't have a real tendency to loan money when they don't see exactly how they're going to be able to get it all back. And you got to jump through those hurdles. So you got to have special programs in place that understand that. And the only reason, the only way to understand that is you've got to talk to other Blacks that are in business so they can make you aware of it. Because there are a lot of really, really successful Black businesses out here that have weathered all of the storms. But this pandemic brought about a special thing for every single person in this country, Black, white, yellow, brown. But we also know that it's extra daunting in the underserved community, because they're usually going check to check. And, you know, they need X amount of people to come through the door in order to make the bills for next week and the monthly payroll and the monthly, you know, leasing and all like this. And so if we could get some programs set up, there's money out there. There's got to be more awareness of it, and it's got to be a little bit more easily accessible.
So I want to pivot now and ask you about investing. You launched your first NFT in May. Why did you want to get involved in NFTs, and how can that really be a game changer for content creators?
It was brought to me, to be honest with you, because I have a lot of young people around me who keep me abreast, you know, but it was more about ownership, you know, and taking more of an active role into my content. It's become a platform for people who are creators, you know, and getting involved in the NFT. I mean, you look at a revenue stream that's really high right now, and it doesn't require you to go out there and do what I've been doing the majority of my career, which is make appearances. You know, I've been making appearance money for so long, and I decided years ago that it was time to pivot because, look, nothing lasts forever. You know, I'm a fabulous 64. You know, I'm like the flyest 64-year-old on the planet. That's my title. It's self-imposed, but I like it. So, you know, I know that I'm not going to be able to just appear the rest of my life. And so getting into business and investments and NFTs and having people around me who are smart and know how this type of opportunity works, it allows me to take full ownership of all the stuff. I have tons of content that I've created over the years that can be turned into profit. But at the same time, I'm creating opportunity, because look, I have to hire these young people to make this happen, because, look, this is not what I really do.
Now you also invest. So what is your investment strategy? What do you look for in some of the companies that you like to invest in?
First, I try to invest in things that will help people. I like that part. I like investing not so much in companies, but in people. I like to put my money into things that move the culture forward, that move young people forward, you know, that creates an opportunity. I look for minority entrepreneurs. I look for entertainment opportunities. I look for tech opportunities, but just mostly any type of business that helps people, like investing in Acorn, because like, look, here's a way for a person to get a card, an app, make a purchase, and all of your change, instead of putting it in your pocket, which is something I've been doing ever since I was homeless. Whenever I got change, I would put it in a bag. Whenever I had a dollar bill, a $1 bill, I would roll it up tight as I could in a little circle. And I would keep adding to that. Every time I had a dollar and every time I put change, I would put it in a bag. And as a homeless person living in a car, I looked up one day, and I had 720 bucks in that bag. But I invest in a company like Acorn because it allows you to take your change and they invest it into companies for you. And you get to grow your money while you're sitting still. Well, that helps people. I know it's tech and everything, but it also helps people. So I'm always looking for stuff like that, entertainment opportunities. I'm always looking for young creators. I like Airbnb, I like Coinbase, I like GameStar, I like Moon Ultra, I like BlockCap. You know, it's just a lot of things that I invest in that I think are, you know, moving in the right direction.
You know, so many Black Americans aren't involved in the markets at all. And they've just been missing out on all the gains that we've seen the markets make just over the last year alone. How can we really change the narrative around investing so that we do see more Black Americans, more Black families get involved in this wealth builder that is investing?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that my program also focuses on, especially with the moms that we have come to the camps with the boys and the young boys. We're always talking about financial literacy because it is a way to do it. You've got to have some money somewhere working for you instead of you working for it. You've got to. The biggest problem we have is, look, most of us come from families where we could be the first one in our family to go to school, first one in our family to climb the corporate ladder. And I know the average family sitting there going, what is he talking about? Well, when you come from impoverished conditions, this is a fact. And so you grow up, you don't have financial conversations at the dinner table. You know, you don't learn about this stuff early. Your dad didn't work at the bank or something, or wasn't in investing. And so most of it is just lack of information and not being aware of how it's done. And so what we try to do is we try to talk about credit. We talk about investing. We talking about using other people's money to grow your money. But these are things that's not taught to us as children. And so we've got to get more financial literacy programs into these neighborhoods, into these kids. And these kids, now they smart. They'll get it if you give it to them. But we just got to get more of it.
I do want to ask, because I'm hearing this a lot, so many Black folks are saying that cryptocurrency is really the key to financial freedom, to wealth. Do you agree with that sentiment? How do you feel about cryptocurrencies?
Well, I agree with it to a degree. I mean, look, it hasn't latched on big enough for you to sink all you have into it. I think the smartest thing is a diverse portfolio. I don't think, look, don't dump all your money into this because we don't know where it's going yet. Now, if you can make some gains, and now some people talking about I'm millionaires and all, that's fine and good. But I mean, cryptocurrency for me, you know, I dabble in a little bit of everything, but what is it? Where is it? You know, it's promising, but it's still some unknown. Nothing beats money. I mean, cryptocurrency, nice, but where is it? What is it? You know, I'm old school, so my money, I can go get it. I can touch it. They give it to me. It's in the form of hundreds. They give it to me. They put a band on it. I can pick it up. I can take it to the house. And I can look at it. Basically, just give it to Marjorie is basically what I end up doing. But and now I got grandkids. But that's my take on it. You know, I own Bitcoin. I own ETH. But I'm not heavy. And because I gotta learn more about it. You know, I got my young people on my team are trying to convince me of it, but I'm just not in it heavy. And I just say to everybody, look, get in it. I wouldn't put every dollar I had in it, but I mean, you gotta look at it, but it's a lot of unknown with it right now.
You know, I wanna ask, you mentioned that you're at the height of your career right now. But as you look out ahead, what do you hope that your legacy is?
It's really funny, y'all. But the thing I've always asked God for was to make me relevant. Not famous, but relevant. My legacy and what I'm working really hard is that when it's all over for me and I get put away, that people talk about the lives I've changed, the people I've affected. It matters most to me when I meet somebody like Prince who comes up to me and says, you talk to me at a youth detention center. I want somebody, when I leave this world, when they talk about me, or if they meet me now, they say, look, man, because of you, I didn't give up. Because of you, I stayed in there. Because of you, I found the courage and the words to forge forward. Because of you, I heard you say something that really clicked in me. So that's the most important thing for me right now. You know, I mean, that's a pretty cool thing to have about your life.